Amen. Good morning, Cornerstone Church. My name is Matt. I'm the youth and family pastor here at Cornerstone. And let me just, any of our families that have young children, pre-K, kindergarten, you're dismissed at this time. For children's church, you can go down the hallway and our teachers are waiting for you. And so you can do that right now. But it is my privilege today and my honor to be able to share God's word with you. I usually am down in that kids ministry wing, hanging out with the kids, which is a great place to be. But this morning on what is sometimes called National Youth Pastor Sunday, because many times, you know, senior pastors take off after Christmas and you're left with me, the youth pastor, to share God's word with you. So I hope that's okay this morning. And I'm so delighted that you are all here. And whether you're here in person, or you're joining us online, let me just welcome you. As Pastor Andy already said, we are in the final Sunday of 2020. Can we all just take a deep breath together? Doesn't that feel good, right? And some of you are singing hallelujahs because of that. You're very excited that we're in the final Sunday of 2020. Tomorrow's the final Monday and so on and so forth. It's been quite a year, hasn't it? And you know what? As I began to prepare this message, I began to jot things down. I thought, you know, I think we should begin with a year in review of all that we've been through this year and all the chaos and all the crazy and all the stuff that we've been through in 2020. And then I began to jot stuff down and I went, why? Why? Why would we spend our time reflecting on all of that stuff here this morning and distract us from what truly matters, or rather, who really matters? And so, friends, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to direct our attention to the one who actually deserves our attention. Are you okay with that this morning? Can I get an amen if you're okay with that? Okay, I can't see if you're smiling or you're scowling at me, but we're going to just go that the amen's okay. So we're turning our attention to Jesus this morning, and if you have been with us this past month, whether it's here in person or it's online, you know that Pastor Andy has been taking us in a deep dive in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. We've been in a Christmas series called God With Us. Everybody say, God with us. Yep, so we have been reminded over the Christmas season that God, for some reason, because of his love for us, he decided to humble himself to the point of becoming man, and he decided that he wanted to come to us. What an incredible thing that God would humble himself to the point of man to come to us. And as he came to us, Pastor Andy reminded us that he came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, holy God and holy man. And Jesus Christ didn't just come for you and me in order to die in our place and save us from our sins, though he did come to do that. But what we were reminded about this Christmas season is that Jesus Christ, the God-man, came to dwell among us, and he actually wanted to be with us. And what is incredible is he didn't just want to be with us back then in human form, but for those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, who have said yes to his invitation, we now have him dwelling within us. And so God remains with us. Isn't that good news, friends? And so here's what I want to transition into this morning, is as miraculous and incredible and amazing as it is that the holy and perfect God would decide to come down to us, sin-stained humanity, and be with us. As I began to think about what to talk about today, I thought, you know, there is something that Jesus says. And he said it to crowds back then, but through his word, he says it to you and I today. There is something that he says to us that I think is equally as incredible and as amazing as the original incarnation that he ever decided to come to us. There's something he says. There's an invitation that he gives to you, and he gives to me, and he gives to all people that is absolutely incredible. And you're going, what is it? I'll tell you in a little bit. I want you to invite you to grab your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, I feel like we've maybe been forgetting to say this lately. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back of our worship center. And so if you don't have a Bible at home to spend time with the Lord on a regular basis, let me encourage you, let that be a gift to you. Okay, write in that thing, take your highlighter, circle stuff, star things, whatever you want to do, that is your Bible, that is our gift to you. Okay, so make sure you have a Bible this morning. Make your way to the Gospel of Matthew. We're still going to be in Matthew, but we're going to be in chapter 11. And we're just going to be mainly in three verses this morning. We're going to start in verse 28. And as you make your way there this morning, I want to ask you a question. And whether you are here in person or you're online, I want you to consider this question. And I understand that as I ask it, it's going to come off as a bit awkwardly placed at this point in a message, but I believe it's going to tie in, okay, with what we're going to be talking about. And here's the question I want you to answer. And if you're taking notes this morning, I'd encourage you to answer this question in one word, and I want you to write that one word at the top of your notes so that it can just sit there throughout our time here together. Here's the question. It's going to seem kind of funny, but here's the question. How are you? Really? How are you in one word? At this point in life, how are you? And I want you to consider both the macro level. I want you to consider everything that's been going on, especially in this past year in 2020 and however it has affected your life. And so then I want you to bring it to micro. Thinking about your own personal life in one word, how are you? And here's why I asked that question. It was this summer or early fall. It was one of the two. I was mowing my lawn. So that's the only reason I know about what season it was. I was mowing my lawn. I was listening to a message from a well-known pastor in our nation. And to be quite honest, I couldn't relay a whole lot of it to you and what he all said that day. But there was something that he unpacked that day that really sat with me. And I went, you know what? I agree with that. He talked about this question of how are you and how's it going? And it's a question that we ask people all the time. I ask people whenever I see them. I ask students. I ask kids whenever I see them. How's it going? How are you? And we do this all the time. It's just part of our culture, right? And this pastor said, you know what? I've seen an evolution to the answer that is given to this question in our culture. He said, you know, for the longest time, the prevailing answer, whenever you ask somebody how they're doing or how's it going, the answer was always, good, fine. I'm good. I'm fine. Just stop talking. Don't ask me anymore. I don't want to unveil anymore. I'm good. And they probably weren't, right? And I'm guilty. Is anybody else? I say good and fine when I'm not good and fine, right? And he said, forever, this was the prevailing answer. This is what people always said. He said, but then it's almost like over the past 2 or 3 years, he said, there was this transition from how are you? Oh, I'm good. I'm fine. All is fine. To busy. Just busy. You know, I'm running the kids everywhere from 5 different sports. I have 3 jobs. I work 80 hours a week. And this busyness almost has become this idol in our culture where we go, you know what? If I'm going to have value, I better be busy because busy means I'm doing a lot of stuff and I get my value from what I do. So therefore, I better be busy. And I remember telling people all the time when they say, how are you, Pastor Matt? I'm busy. I'm just busy. And that was our answer. And then he said, but you know what? He said, then 2020 hit. And he said, the answer has changed again. He said, you know, forever it was, how are you? I'm good. How are you? I'm busy. But he said, you know what? It is now. He said, you ask somebody how they're doing here in 2020 in these recent days. And he said, the prevailing answer is this. I'm tired. I'm really tired. And it goes beyond the physical. It's not just I'm a physical tired, but I'm an emotional tired. I'm a mental tired. I'm tired at my core tired because of all that is stressing me out and going on in our world. I'm just tired. And I agreed with that so much that day because I tell you guys, on a Wednesday night when we have students that come in our building for youth group, the prevailing answer as I ask students, how are you doing? I'm tired. That's what they tell me. I'm tired, and I know it's deeper than the physical. And so there's a very good chance that some of you in this room today, this morning, or perhaps online, when I ask you, how are you? You have the word tired written at the top of your notes. Or perhaps I'd be number 2 or number 3 in how you're doing. And let me just tell you that this morning, Jesus has something to say to you. Jesus has something to invite you to. If you're feeling that tiredness. And so let's find out what that is this morning. Join me in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, and let's see exactly what Jesus says to us. He says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, I'm going to say, have you interacted with me a little bit this morning? Raise your hand if you've heard these three verses before in your life, at any point in your life, in church, in Sunday school, whatever it might be. Yes, that's what I thought. Very famous, right? Very famous verses. We've heard these verses before. But in these three famous verses, here's what I see. I see a profound, and I'm going to even go so far as to say, I see a life-changing invitation this morning. And if you're taking notes, write invitation in that first blank, because this is what Jesus makes to us this morning. He makes an invitation, and he starts these three famous verses with three short words. He says, come to me. And you hear that and you go, oh, that's kind of short. That's kind of unimpressive. There's not a whole lot to that invitation. But I find out as we continue to read all three verses that when Jesus says, come to me, there's all these details that follow that all of a sudden this very short and unimpressive invitation of come to me all of a sudden is amazing. And it's incredible. And so just like any invitation that you might receive in the mail, or you might receive on Facebook, or you might receive over a text, there's details for every invitation. There's questions that you need to ask, right? Who am I meeting with? Where are we going? What are we doing? What time do we need to be there? And so this morning, what we're going to do is we look at and dive into these three verses. We're going to answer three questions about this invitation that Jesus says, that Jesus invites us into when he says, come to me. So here's number one. The first question we need to answer is this. Who's it from? Who's it from? And I know as I say that and I ask that question, I know some of you are like, yes, I know this one. Sunday school answer, right? Everybody, it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And you're right. He is the one who's talking here. He's the one who is inviting us to come to him. And yay, hallelujah, that's awesome. But here's the thing that I want to ask you as a follow-up to that. We know the invitation is from Jesus, but I want to ask you a question. I hope it doesn't come to offense to anybody. And I truly mean that. Here's my question. When we say Jesus, do you know who we're talking about? Do you truly understand when we say the name of Jesus, do you truly understand who it is that is inviting you to come to him? Because if I'm honest, I'm learning every day more and more exactly who Jesus is. But here's the thing. So often we just think Jesus is simply the surface level Sunday school answer, who's the answer to all things, and he is our answer. But there is so much to Jesus Christ that makes this invitation of come to me worth accepting. And I'm convinced that if he's just a surface level, simple little Jesus answer in Sunday school, that it might not be worth accepting. But who is he? Let's find out who this Jesus is this morning, okay? And here's what's cool. In the chapter, Matthew chapter 11, in this gospel, Matthew chapter 11, here's what we find out. We find out that our eyes are able to see who Jesus is through two different lenses, okay? And so perhaps in your Bible this morning, you're not even going to have to turn a page in your Bible. I want to invite you to jump to the beginning of Matthew chapter 11 because there's something going on here. There's a conversation that happens that we find out exactly who Jesus is in one of his ways, okay? And so join me there at the beginning of chapter 11. Let me set the table for you. There's this guy. His name is John the Baptist. Perhaps you've probably heard of John the Baptist before, right? The guy who is to come and prepare the way for the Lord to come, for Jesus to come. And John the Baptist finds himself in a difficult situation. He's in prison. He's behind bars. And he's got these disciples. These disciples are coming to him. They're tending to his needs. But as they tend to his needs, they're also giving him some reports about this one called the Christ, about Jesus. And it's so interesting. As John hears these reports, he goes, hey, I want you to go find that Jesus. I want you to go find that guy named the Christ. And I have a question for him. And we pick it up in verse 3. Join me there. John asked through his disciples to Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? Direct question, right? Listen to Jesus' answer, verse 4. And Jesus answered them, "Go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." What an answer Jesus gives, revealing who he is. Because you know what? As John would hear this report from his disciples, as they came back and they told John what they had heard and what they had seen, here's what John would bring to mind. All of a sudden, the words of Isaiah the prophet would come to mind. And Isaiah prophesied about the coming Messiah, that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, that the ears of the deaf would be unstopped, that the lame man would leap like a deer, that the tongue of the mute would sing for joy, that the good news would be brought to the poor, and that the captives would have liberty proclaimed to them. This is what John would hear when he heard these things about what Jesus was doing and what would happen when John heard those words of the prophet Isaiah. He would rest assured and he'd go, "Ah, it's him. It's him. He's the one we've been waiting for." And just as John was able to rest assured that day that Jesus was the coming Messiah, that he was the coming Savior of the world, that he was the coming King who was bringing the kingdom of God to earth, when you and I read these words that the blind receive their sight, that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, you and I can rest assured that, when this one invites us to come to him, we can find rest. I rest assured in that. If Jesus can do all of that, I trust, if that's who he is, that when I come to him, I receive rest. I receive rest. But here's what's awesome. It's not only in chapter 11, we don't just see Jesus' supernatural power or his fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. That's not the only thing that defines who Jesus is. Instead, in the very short few verses that we're looking at this morning, Jesus does something for us that is so incredible. He says, "Yeah, I got all this supernatural power. Yes, I have fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies." But he said, "Let me just pull back the curtain a little bit and let me reveal my heart. Let me allow you to see me at my core." Look at it again with me. Look at the middle, smack dab in the middle of verse 29. Jesus reveals his very inside to us. He says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. I have a question for you, church. Whenever somebody has asked you, "Well, who's Jesus to you? What do you know about Jesus?" What's your response? Has this ever been included in your definition? If you said, "Oh yeah, Jesus is the one who's gentle and lowly in heart." Or are you more like me? You're talking about the miracles. You're talking about he's the great I am. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace. Have you ever stopped and said, "Oh Jesus, yeah, my Savior, my Lord, he's gentle. And he's lowly in heart." Has that ever been part of your definition of who this Jesus is that says to you, "Come to me"? Maybe not. And maybe the reason it's not is because you're going, "I don't even really know what that means." Guess what? We're in the same club, okay? Let's find out what this gentle and lowly in heart means. A family in our church, thank you, family in our church, blessed my wife and I with this book. I highly recommend it to you. It's called Gentle and Lowly. It's written by a guy named Dane Ortlund. And what Ortlund is trying to do throughout this book is reveal the heart of Christ for sinners and sufferers. And he unpacks these words, gentle and lowly. And one of the things that he does is he looks at the Greek, much like Pastor Andy does, and he confuses me all the time, and I have to go and look up in Webster's and that kind of thing. But anyway, he looks at the Greek underneath gentle and lowly, and then what he does is he paints this beautiful picture of who Jesus is as gentle and lowly in heart. So I wanted to share a couple of these things so that you and I can walk out of here this morning. We can go, "You know what? That Jesus is who invites me to come to him." Listen to this. Ortlund says this about Jesus being gentle in heart. You might jot some of these things down. He writes, Jesus being gentle in heart means this. It means Jesus is not trigger happy. He's not harsh, reactionary, easily exasperated. He is the most understanding person in the universe. Listen to this. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms. Friends, as I read that, it made me want to ask you, and because I need to ask myself, on my worst days, on my most frustrating days, my kids are irritating the tar out of me, and I'm a pastor, but that happens in my house, okay? Do I see Jesus looking at me like this? Or like this? Matthew, come to me. You're laboring. You're heavy laden. And I think all too often I have this view of Jesus who's just mad and irritated with me and is disappointed in me and frustrated with me, but instead, he's gentle in heart. He's got his arms wide open to you and to me, and he's saying, just come. Just come. This is who I am. But not only gentle in heart, Jesus is also lowly in heart. Ortland describes it this way. He says the point in saying that Jesus is lowly is that he is accessible. For all of his resplendent glory and dazzling holiness, his supreme uniqueness and otherness, listen, no one in human history has ever been more approachable than Jesus Christ. There's no prerequisites and there's no hoops to jump through. Friends, I have to ask you today, do you believe that about Jesus? Do you believe that he is actually that accessible? Or do you feel like he gives you the stiff arm because you just disappointed him way too much? You've just been trying way too hard and therefore he gives you the stiff arm. Or do you actually see him like this and he's saying, just come. I'm the most approachable person that's ever walked the face of the earth. I'm gentle. And I'm lowly in heart. Friends, yes, Jesus is the one who holds all supernatural power and fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, but he's also the one who at his very core is gentle and lowly in heart. Do you know him as such? Because that's who says to you and who says to me, come to me. Isn't that good news? But not only do we need to know who it is that is inviting us, we also need to be assured of this. Question number two, who's invited? Who's invited? Look at verse 28 with me again. Because Jesus, when he says, come to me, this is what he follows it up with. He says, come to me all, everybody say all. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Many of you raised your hand and said, I've heard these verses a million times, Sunday school, church, whatever it's been in your past. But I wonder if you're like me, if these words of who is invited, I wonder if it's ever really sunk in for you. I wonder if it's ever really sunk in for you who Jesus doesn't call. That Jesus doesn't say, come to me, all of you who are married and who have children and who have well-paying jobs and who are healthy and who go to church every Sunday and who read their Bible every day and who fast at least once a month and who give above and beyond their tithe every other week. That's not what it says, right? Jesus, instead, in his gentleness and his lowliness, he asks us, are you laboring? Meaning, are you laying unnecessary burdens upon yourself? Are you working for it? Or as Ortland likes to put it, are you actively working hard to crowbar your life into smoothness? And not only that, Jesus says, are you also heavy laden? In other words, are others placing burdens on you that you have no business trying to carry? And as Jesus asks us those two questions, are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? He says, you know what? If so, if you're one of these or the other, or you're both of these, he says, guess what? You're qualified. That is what qualifies you to come to me. your labor and your heavy ladenness is what qualifies you to come to Jesus, friends. So if you wrote down tired this morning, guess what? You're qualified, Jesus says. Now, it's important to know that in the context of this chapter, in chapter 11 here, it's important to know just who Jesus is talking to. He's talking specifically to crowds who in that day and age are living and have been living day in and day out under religious legalism. You see, there were these guys called Pharisees and scribes. And what they had been doing is they had been laying these burdens upon these people. They're saying, you have to do this and you have to do that. And adding all these extras. And it gets even worse. Because Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, he uncovers the truth about these burdens. As he says this. He says, they, these Pharisees and scribes, they tie up heavy burdens that are hard to bear. They lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. And you look at that today and you might go, well Matt, here's the deal. Last I check, I'm not surrounded by Pharisees and scribes who are hypocritically binding me with all kinds of burdens and things to do. And I would agree with you, nor am I. But here's the reality, church. No matter who you are, and no matter where you're at in relation to Jesus Christ, whether you have come to him in faith or whether you have not yet come to him in faith, this invitation is for all of us. It's for you and you and you and you and me and you too. For all of us, no matter where you're at. You see, here's what I mean. There are some here perhaps this morning or perhaps online that you're listening to this and you know in your heart of hearts that you have never for the first time responded to this invitation. You've never for the first time responded to this invitation, meaning you have not yet come to Jesus and received his eternal salvation and his eternal rest that is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so what you do is you're working and you're toiling for that salvation. You think, if I could just be good enough, if I could just be good enough, if I could just work hard enough, then I'll experience that rest and I'll experience that salvation. And Jesus is saying to some of you this morning who have not yet come to him for the first time, he's saying, come, stop it, and come. That invitation is for you. But it's not just for those folks. This invitation of come to me is also for people like myself, for those of us who have already come to Jesus for the first time. We already know his grace. We already know his salvation. We already experience a relationship with him. But for some reason, if we're honest, what we find ourselves in is in this work-based salvation hamster wheel, and we're just spinning it. And we're working hard and we're going, yeah, I know Jesus died for me, but I got to keep proving myself. I got to keep working for it. And we're in this hamster wheel. And guess what? We're getting where? Thank you, Bruce. We're getting nowhere. We're getting nowhere. Because Jesus already took care of it. But yet, if you're like me, I fall into this, you guys. I'm just being honest with you. We convince ourselves. Even though I've already come to him the first time, I convince myself that, hey, as long as I read the Bible every day, as long as I pray long enough, as long as I do enough devotions with my kids, as long as I don't screw up that opportunity to share the gospel with my neighbor, as long as I do all of the work and check it off the list, then I'll experience his rest. And Jesus is pleading with us this morning. And he's saying, no. He's saying the invitation is while you are heavy laden and while you are laboring, just come to me in the middle of it. Come to me. Just stop and come. Don't try to get it all done and be all perfect. Then come to me and clean it all up. No, he's saying, come to me right now as you labor and as you are heavy laden. Come to me, you, whoever you are, you all are invited. Boy, that's good news to me this morning. I hope it is to you as well. So we know who the invitation is from. We know who's invited. But then lastly, we have to uncover this detail this morning and answer this question. And whether this is going to be the first time that you've received this invitation or the 100th time that you're going back to Jesus, we have to know this answer to this question. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Every invitation has a purpose, right? I mean, we have invitations to birthday parties. We have invitations to weddings. We have invitations to family reunions or to simply a cup of coffee. But there's always a purpose to invitations. And in today's text, Jesus makes it super clear what the invitation is, right? Look at verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what, church? Rest. The purpose is rest. He wants to give us rest. But here's what we need to do. It is so important to understand what this rest is, or maybe more important to understand what it's not. Because I don't know about you, but every time I hear this verse, I get really excited. Because I'm a parent of three young kids, six and under, and I'm generally tired. And I go, Jesus, invite me to nap time. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to come to Jesus. This is going to be restful. We're going to take a nap. It's going to be great. But then I read verse 29, and I go, Because verse 29, look at it with me. It says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your what? Everybody, your what? Souls. You see, Jesus is not inviting us to himself for bodily rest, but instead for soul rest. Rest for our inmost being, rest for our core. And if you've been walking with Jesus for any length of time and you've spent some time in your word, you know this makes total sense. Because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they all work together and they work from the inside out. Jesus knows that if we're going to experience rest, it has to start within. If we try to do all the work and toil out here in order to get the rest, we're never going to have rest. Jesus says, you have to come to me and you're going to find rest for your soul. That is where true rest is actually found, from within. And so the purpose of Jesus' invitation this morning is that you will find rest, dear friend, and you will find it at your inmost being, at your soul. Because that's where he works from. So we know what this rest is, but the next question is, how do I get it? How do I get this rest? You need to know the how, right? Well, we already know that Jesus says, come to me, so we have to come to him. But then he says this thing at the beginning of verse 29 that for years has just caused me to scratch my head. Look at it again. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, you will find rest for your souls. Does anyone else scratch their head at that one? Take my yoke upon you. So Jesus is inviting you and I to come to him to get rest. And that same telling us to take up his yoke. This figurative wooden crossbar that is laid across the shoulders of animals in order to carry heavy farm equipment across plow fields. Jesus says, I want you to take up my yoke, and it's that way that you are going to find rest for your souls. And I'm going, Jesus, it sounds like you're trying to mix oil and water here. Because you're telling me to come and get rest, and at the same time, you're telling me to take this thing up and do some work. This ain't working, Jesus. This doesn't sound very restful to me, Jesus. And not just any yoke, the yoke of the Son of God, the yoke of the King of Kings, the yoke of the Prince of Peace. And I'm going, how in the world am I going to bear that and get rest at the same time? And of course, in typical Jesus fashion, he likes to slip in little statements, doesn't he? It's like a little key that he puts into the lock and it all makes sense and it all works out, right? Look at what he says right after he tells us to take his yoke upon him. He says, take my yoke upon you, and what does it say, church? Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This little learn from me implies something extremely significant. It implies relationship, friends. Jesus isn't telling you and I, hey, come to me and find rest, but first, let me lay my yoke upon you. You do all of the work that I want done, do all the chores, do all the checklists, and once that's all done, then you can find some rest. No. Instead, Jesus says, come to me and learn from me. We are going to bear this yoke together, and you're simply going to join me in the work that I'm already doing. And in that relationship, as we work together under my yoke, you're going to experience rest like you've never experienced rest before. Why? Because you're doing my work that I'm already doing. You're just joining me. We're just in relationship here. You guys are familiar most likely from what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do how much, church? I just want to make sure you know that. You can do how much? And yet think of how much we work and toil. Think of how much we try to carry our own yokes and the yokes of other people, and we try to do all this work, and then once we try to get it all completed, we go, okay, now I'll experience the rest and peace I'm looking for. And Jesus is saying, I just want you to join me in relationship here. You got the yoke. And I'm going to bear it with you, and we're just going to walk in relationship together, and you're just going to see the work and the fruit being produced, and it's going to be awesome. And all along, you're just going to experience my rest. Why? Because my yoke is easy, verse 30. My burden is light. Why? Because I bear it with you. So come to me. One more time, I'd like to quote Ortlund for you because he paints again this beautiful picture about Jesus' yoke. Because if you ever began to stumble over this word before, I want you to think of it this way as we seek to come to him and find rest. Ortlund writes, what helium does to a balloon, Jesus' yoke does to his followers. We are buoyed along in life by his endless gentleness and his supremely accessible lowliness. He doesn't just simply meet us at our place of need. He lives in our place of need. He never tires of sweeping us into his tender embrace. Listen, it's his very heart. It's what gets him out of bed in the morning. I love that. Friends, as we close our time together this morning, as we close the book on what a year it's been here in 2020, let me just ask you again. How are you? How are you? And however you are this morning, or however you've been throughout the course of this year, doesn't matter if you're at the top of mountain peak or you're in the lowest valley or you're just somewhere in between, wherever you're at and however you're doing, let me just remind you that the same God who took on flesh and came to us on Christmas is the same God who stands with open arms and he says to each and every person here on this earth, whether we know him or we don't know him, come to me. Come to me. And it's only in him, friends, that you will find true rest. 2021 is not your savior. Jesus is. And it's only in him we'll find rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that a couple thousand years ago you made a choice that you had in your plans many years before that. And you made a choice that through your son, Jesus Christ, you were going to come and you were going to come and dwell amongst your people and you were going to die for us and take our place on the cross and you were going to rise again and then you were going to send your spirit so that you could always be with us, so that we could be the temple of God. And at the same time, Lord, as amazing as that is, that you came to us to be with us and dwell among us, it's incredible that the perfect, holy God would look at sin-stained humanity and say, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Father, my prayer this morning is that whether we have never come to you before or whether this would be our 300th time coming to you, Lord, draw our hearts near to you and allow us to come to you another time. In Jesus' name, amen.